Like, we have something going here. We're building something special, and, you know, you can see it from the outside, and inside, it's even more beautiful.
The point of having a bunch of Ferraris and keep them in the garage, you know, like, take them out to the track, so.
Once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of All In with Art Stapleton, a New York Giants podcast brought to you by NorthJersey.com and The Record. I am your host, Art Stapleton. It is a special free agency preview edition of All In. And without any further ado, I promised this guest when we were out at the Combine in Indy, but he's got a busy schedule. So at this point right now, I'm welcoming in Jonathan Jones, lead analyst and insider for CBS Sports. JJ, what's up, man?
What's going on? Sorry we could not make this work at the Combine, but very glad we could squeeze it in just before the legal tampering window during this illegal tampering window.
Yeah, the tampering, negotiating, whatever we want to talk about, right? I mean, we were both at the Combine, you know, things get said, and it's, oh, by the way, that player who's on your roster, who I'm not free to speak on right now, if you throw a couple numbers out, maybe I'd be interested, that kind of thing. It's a crazy world we live in, Jonathan, and you more than I having to be on the national scope. But as we were set up to do this, news broke this morning. Yesterday, the Giants had a conversation, which is what was confirmed to me, with Russell Wilson, who I guess now is on a plane somewhere out of New Jersey to Pittsburgh to meet with the Steelers. But, you know, Giants fans have been clamoring for Russell Wilson. Maybe it's about 6 or 7 years too late for what they want him here. But how did that news strike you this morning when you saw that not just the Steelers, but that the Giants now and maybe other teams were interested in Russ?
Yeah, I think there are going to be other teams, and I fully understand why there would be other teams, because you need to go and check in on Russ to understand where he is at in his career. What does he want? Because in terms of bang for your buck, you're not going to find anyone cheaper, right? This is a really great option when you include the economics in there. So now you have to figure out locker room fit, because he's going to be playing on the veteran minimum of 1.2-ish or whatever. Because, you know, I think personally, he still has something. I think that he is a top 32 quarterback in the NFL. Now you just have to figure out how it's going to work with Russ in your system with the quarterback that you have there. So with Daniel Jones, could that work with him? With Kenny Pickett, could that work with him? We could continue going on down the list of places that are not, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs or Cincinnati Bengals, right? And so I understand the exploratory nature of picking up the phone and saying, hey, this guy who very recently was on a Hall of Fame trajectory that I can have for $1 million and not have to give up anything for. Let's see if you want to come into the building and how it's going to work. So Giants doing their due diligence, just like they did on the college scene, right? Going to all those games and checking out all those quarterbacks. It's only right that they, I don't even want to say kick the tires, but at least, you know, throw their hat in the ring and say, hey, Russ, what's your deal? And so that's what they're doing.
It's pretty crazy, you know, the timing of it. Yesterday he was in with the Giants yesterday, and then I was told that Drake May was also in town for his top 30 visits. The Giants are kicking them off a little earlier this year. I would imagine that means they want to get out to even more pro days than they did last year. So you've got Drake May, who's got to be considered in the mix, whether he's top three or whether he slides down to six, where they're sitting for the draft. I know they like May. I don't know if May's at the top of their list, but he's in there, and Russell Wilson's in there, and I'm sure Daniel Jones, you and I both know Daniel Jones, he was probably doing his rehab at Quest yesterday. So kind of crazy scene for the Giants at quarterback. You know, look, you've had conversations with Joe Shane. I've had conversations with Joe Shane. He's talked publicly. There's no doubt that the Giants believe that they have to add to the quarterback's room, which was what happened last year. You know, can't happen again. They made the most of it. I mean, heck, they won three games with Tommy DeVito, who, as I've mentioned several times, they wanted to over-recruit Tommy at this point. You know, they tried replacing him several times. When you look at the QB landscape and where the Giants fit, you know, I had a lot of people when Rich Eisen said on his show about, you know, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones, and, you know, the way it came out, and was it a rumor? Who did he hear it from? You and I both know how the combine works, but give me your sense. You know, you've got a finger on the pulse. I know, you know, I saw you were not only on the scene doing live interviews with the prospects, but you were involved. What's your sense of what the league believes the Giants are going to do at quarterback? And what do you think in terms of what you've seen, what you've heard?
Well, first of all, it would be interesting if all three of those quarterbacks were in the building at the same time. You got Daniel Jones, a Duke Blue Devil. You got Drake May, a North Carolina Tar Heel. And then you got Russell Wilson, a Wisconsin Badger. No, I'm kidding.
Or NC State, right?
Or NC State, sure. I mean, I say that, of course, as a Tar Heel, but also during my time there, I went 0-3 against Russell Wilson. So, look, when you talk about the quarterbacks and what the Giants could do, you know, I think that, frankly, we could know in about a week, we could know what the Giants are, or at least are not going to do at six, right? It's hard to imagine that the Giants would keep Daniel Jones and then sign Russell Wilson and then use that premium pick at six on one of those top quarterbacks, whether it's a Drake May, whom I don't believe is going to fall to six. So now you're talking about that Bo Nix-ish guy, right? J.J. McCarthy, maybe. That's a premium pick for this team. I don't know that they're investing $40 million, at least even in this year, in Daniel Jones and then Russell Wilson and then that quarterback. So if you sign Russ, you know, that doesn't mean you don't take a quarterback at some point in the draft, just maybe not at six. But if you don't add a veteran quarterback that could truly be a week one starter, I'm talking about a Jacoby Brissett an above level sort of guy, a Gardner Minshew kind of guy. If we're talking about someone who is essentially playing for the vet minimum, but is not Russell Wilson, at that point, I think that everything's in play at six. And that could include even a trade up if you feel super strongly about that player. And look, I think that the front office with the Giants would be able to massage certain feelings. You have to protect yourself against, you know, Daniel Jones and his injuries, and they've protected themselves in the contract, where you and I both know it's really a 2-year deal. It's not that 4-year deal. So when I look at it, I say they could do anything, and they could have done anything even before Daniel Jones's injury. They certainly can now.
Yeah. You know, you think it's less likely. It wouldn't surprise me if the Giants would say, hey, more the merrier, you know, you want to bring Russ in here for $1.2 million and compete with Daniel. And then, you know, you got Tommy DeVito still on the roster and you go and draft a quarterback at six because you didn't expect him to be there. I think it also comes down to Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson, if he has an opportunity, if he thinks he can go win the job outright in Pittsburgh, knowing that Pittsburgh is not going to draft a quarterback,
right,
why would you go play with the Giants and enter this kind of scenario where you may be standing on the sideline because they transition very quickly from Daniel Jones to the rookie? And then you're just kind of sitting there going, okay, well, what am I doing here?
I think that's sort of like anticipating that the meeting with Pittsburgh is going to go well, because you and I looking at it are saying, would you rather have Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson this year? Would you like for that? And if, you know, I'm looking at it through the eyes of Russ, if I believe that I'm still QB1, that's going to be an easier place for me. There's no question about it. But, you know, that meeting still has to go well.
Very true.
But yeah. And so that is what we are assuming. And I say we as in you and I both, right? Yes. And the public. But maybe that's not going to be the case on Friday afternoon.
You know, and that's what's funny. The last thing on this one, and then I want to really dive into to free agency going up, you know, starting on Monday. But the idea that, you know, everyone assumes, and I'll include the two of us because that's our job, that's what we're trying to do. I haven't been able to talk to many people inside the building in the last hour or so, so I don't know what they're feeling, but it's quite possible that Russell Wilson left the building and they looked around at each other and go, yeah, this is not going to work for us. Now, that sure, I wasn't told that, but it is possible that they just wanted, they did their due diligence, like you said, but it was also the idea of, if we didn't do this, and then things completely backfire on us, then we would kind of look at it and say, why didn't we investigate this further?
That's right.
So I agree with you. I think it's more exploratory. It's the idea of, you know what, it's Russell Wilson. I mean, we know, you know, he's the only one who's only quarterback who's won a Super Bowl in that building in MetLife. I mean, so, you know, only Eli Manning and Russell Wilson have won a playoff game in that building. So you investigate, you see what it is, but it's kind of funny for the Giants because, you know, like I said, six years ago, you know, it was the idea of, can the Giants go after Russell Wilson and get him from Seattle to replace Eli Manning? And now to even just have his name floated out there, the fact that they cross paths is pretty crazy. Let's talk free agency. First off, I want to talk your stuff. Tell me what your week is going to be like next week. How many TV hits? You're going to have stuff online. I want people to be able to find you next week as the free agency period starts to pick up. Where can they find you other than your social media, obviously?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, yeah, on Twitter at JJones9, but then throughout the week, you know, starting Monday, probably starting before that, probably starting at some point while we are recording right now. But on CBS Sports HQ, the 24/7 free streaming platform, as well as in the afternoons on CBS Sports Network in our Spotlight show. And so anything that's popping that, you know, we'll, you know, obviously try to break or confirm or add context to. That's going to be the entire week. Next week is just on the phones and doing a hit and then making sure probably in the middle of a hit, something else is happening. And so you're being the guy who's like texting over here, and I never want to be that guy, but
got to be that guy.
But that's what you have to do for those 3 days. And so, you know, you apologize to other people and you just say, I'm sorry, I don't want to be this guy.
Right.
But on these 3 days, that's what you got to do.
And in the world of TV, I'm not there. You are, and you're really diving in at this point. I wouldn't put it past some guys that their phone's not even buzzing, or it's a text from their wife or their mom or their father, and they just go like this and go, just to make it seem like, you know, it's David Mulgeta reaching out, you know, just,
you know, in case. And that is part of the reason why I hate it so much, because I should be able to give you my attention right here. And, you know, there's the theater of it all, and I've seen that. And I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, the only time really that you should be doing that is on Black Monday, when the coaches are getting fired and interviews are taking place, and free agency. And really, it's the start of free agency. Otherwise, it's you can put the phone down.
Well, it's always appreciated, but I understand. You know, I've heard that several times in my house that I could just put the phone down at some point. Let's talk Saquon Barkley. I wasn't surprised that they didn't put a franchise tag on him.
I was surprised it was news, Art.
It wasn't. I know it wasn't. But some, you know, everybody's got to produce news. You know what it's like. So the way things are framed, it was not news. Tell me what you're hearing on Saquon, what you're feeling, and then we can, you know, go from there.
You know, one of the things when we talked earlier about the combine and about numbers being thrown out, it was really interesting when this cap going up. There weren't a whole lot of numbers talk. Like, I would meet with an executive after they had just met with some agents. I was like, how was that conversation? I was like, yeah, I didn't really talk numbers. And that happened a lot. The running back market, I don't know how many numbers were talked about. And I don't know that it's going to be any good for the running backs out there. Now, you know Saquon far better than I do. And so you can speak to his philosophy and his temperament and what he's willing to take on. But I will be very, very surprised if there are any running back deals that are legitimately averaging $10 million or more per year. I'd be stunned by it. I had someone tell me that 8 to 10 is the highest band that we could see these running backs go for. I thought that was high. I thought it'd be 6 to 8. But, you know, you still have to respect these players, especially guys like Saquon, who have meant so much to their individual franchises. So they're going to go out there, and I think the market's going to be very quiet early on. I would be stunned if one of these top tier free agent running backs signs quickly with another team. I think if they sign quickly, they're signing with their current team or their most recent team because they understand that the market, they've already read it. They understand the market's not going to be good for them, and it's only going to get worse with each successive day. So that's what I see. And now it's just a matter of, are you willing to strike on Monday, or do you really think that you're going to have 11.5 waiting out there for you Wednesday afternoon? Because I don't.
And that's the, I think that's the catch. And look, there's going to be this runaround, this idea of, you know, what do you think? You know, we all know negotiations. The Giants have been negotiating with Saquon Barkley since the bye week of the 2022 season. I mean, let's be honest. Then the offers have ranged, and we've heard numbers, and you hear numbers. Some are accurate. Some are cap, as Saquon said last year on social media. But I do think that the reality comes down to, it's not only a devalued position, but the market is flooded. I mean, it's flooded with guys. All three guys who got the franchise tag last year, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, and Tony Pollard, are all back in the market with no tags. So you start at the top there, and then just guys who you think you could bring in at half the price for what some of these bigger names are going to get, a Zach Moss, a Devin Singletary, you know, are two guys that Joe Shane even mentioned, whether it was intentionally or inadvertently, when he was on Giants.com with a Q&A and just threw out those two names, guys he's familiar with up in Buffalo. You know, if you're judging how the Giants are operating, what is your sense with Saquon? Are you preparing for the idea, you know, just from a league perspective, it seems like everybody has an opinion. What do you think? I mean, are you anticipating someone actually making a play for Saquon?
Well, all it takes is one, right? That is all that it takes. And that's where I was talking with you about your knowledge of Saquon, where if, you know, the Jaguars from the past couple of years, when they just come over the top and pay one of those guys, right? And then the market gets a little out of whack. Like, if that is what he wants, if he wants to truly prove the point, with a team that is probably paying the bad team tax by having to overpay, then okay. If I'm the Giants, I recognize the positional value of running back. I want to be respectful of who Saquon is and what he has been for this franchise. There's no question about that. But also, if I'm the Giants, I feel like I've given you more than fair offers out there the last little bit. I mean, Art, you and I both know in our heart of hearts, you should have taken the deal that was on the table a year and a half ago, right? Or a year ago, or, you know, like, it didn't have to get to this point, and now it is. And so I don't know if I'm the Giants, if I say, well, you know, you messed up and your representation messed up, and so that's okay. We'll still give you that deal. That deal's not coming back. And so, it'd be hard for me to see the Giants. I still think they value him more than 31 other teams, but all it takes is one of those 31 to come over the top. And so, you know, we'll see, but that's just where we are in the NFL today. And to your point, the guys who got franchise tagged last year, look at it. Look at all the running backs who were on that Zoom last year to talk about and sort of kvetch about it all. They're all, outside of Christian McCaffrey, they're all about to be free agents. And their teams have spoken loudly, individually, about how they feel. So there's no collusion or anything. It's just that's the state of the game right now.
Yeah, it's a game of musical chairs right now for running backs, but also for another position. And Giants are right involved with that, with safety. Xavier McKinney, there was talk about the transition tag. There was no tag placed on Xavier, so he is also a free agent. I know the Giants have continued to talk to him this week, but it opens up a bigger issue. And you had a great story on CBSSports.com. So if anyone, check out your social media. There's a link to it, couple hits down. Your story about the devaluing of the safety market and why the league views safeties differently than maybe they did 4 years ago. Why don't you talk a little bit about that story, and we can get into that.
Yeah, so the conversation around safety is not that dissimilar to the conversation around running back. You know, there is some simple econ of supply and demand. There's also just some market forces at work where we have seen the trend of the NFL, even though we're passing more than we ever have before. We're also passing shorter than ever before. More throws behind the line of scrimmage, more throws 10 or fewer yards down the field. There are fewer throws of 20 and 30 yards down the field. And so also you have teams playing this too high safety where you don't really have to get that guy if that guy doesn't exist. You also have more innovative, creative offensive coordinators who, if you know that that safety is bad against the run, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go run at that safety. Or if you know that that guy is terrible in coverage against the tight end, what are you going to do? You're going to get your tight end matched up against that safety. And so if you don't have a Kyle Hamilton, if you don't have an Antoine Winfield Jr., you are not going to be paying top market value for these guys, because you can get 80% of one of those guys for 40% of the cost. And I'm making those numbers up, but we understand what I mean by that. And so, again, it's really the running back conversation, just at a different position and sort of going with the trends of the NFL. So, you know, you have a guy like Xavier McKinney, who 24 years old, fantastic talent. You could transition tag him, and he's probably earned it at 13 point whatever million dollars. But the transition tag is the interesting one, because, you know, somebody else could craft a deal that you wouldn't or couldn't match. And when you don't do that, you don't get anything back for him, and you lose the comp pick. So you could lose that player after sort of holding $13 million against the cap in escrow when you probably need it, and then get nothing in return.
Yeah, it's a five-day window for the transition tag, and that's what the Patriots are dealing with Kyle Duggar. I mean, that, you know, now look, the Patriots have a heck of a lot more salary cap space to play with this year than the Giants do. So putting 13.8 aside for a minimum of 5 days if someone is to give him an offer is a little different than the Giants, who are dealing with, I think it's at 33 and change at this point for the Giants. Right. What's your feel on McKinney? Because, you know, you want to listen to Xavier and the way he played down the stretch last season. Like you said, 24 years old, was really coming on at the end of last year. Is the feeling for McKinney around the league the same, that he is the elite player at the top of this? You mentioned Winfield. You mentioned Kyle Hamilton. Do you think that there's somebody out there or teams out there that view him at the same level?
I'd be surprised if it's at that level. You know, like the all pro sort of level. You know, I think we're talking Pro Bowl level. And yep. So I don't know that it's Winfield. I don't know if it's Kyle Hamilton, Minka, Derwin James, right? Those guys went healthy, but he's really, really good. And so it's again, it kind of goes back to, let's take the running back, for example. It's, are you Christian McCaffrey? Okay, well, if you're close to Christian McCaffrey, we could pay you close to Christian McCaffrey. But if you are, you know, guy who just runs well, if you are Miles Sanders from a couple years ago, well, you're not getting Christian McCaffrey money. And so if you are Xavier McKinney, I don't know that another team out there, based off of the league trends, is going to ultimately pay that. You have Justin Simmons, who's now in the mix, yep. You know, 30, going on 31 years old, but also coming off another second team all pro season, and a great human being and leader in the locker room, that I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in. But Xavier's kind of in that weird upper middle class or lower upper class that we know always gets scrunched in these positional value conversations, in the NFL. So fascinated to see what ultimately comes out of this.
And you mentioned the comp pick, that I think people lost that idea of what was going in, and you were the first one to really elaborate and point it out, so give you credit for that. But the idea that if you transition tag a player and you lose out on that player, not only do you not get compensation as far as a draft pick, you do not have that player included in your compensation formula for the compensatory draft pick. So that's definitely an interesting thing. And I think before I just ask you overranging, you know, what do you think the most interesting position will be next week and which team will make a splash? But one more thing on this is that just the idea of, and I brought this up, look, we know Xavier is represented by David Mulugeta, you know, high profile agent. It seems like if you're a big time safety in this league, you're represented by Dave. I said that I thought it's not only goodwill with the player, but it's goodwill with the agent to do what Joe Shane did and not put the transition tag on him, knowing that someone is going to beat the tag, that 13.8. And the idea that, you know, it was kind of an understood thing. You do a solid by me, and then ultimately, you know, look, Mulugeta has all these guys at this position. If Xavier McKinney decides, you know, he's signing in – I don't even know where I would say he's going to sign. You know, let's say, okay, Denver. They just got rid of Simmons. You know, he's going to Denver. odds are the safety that the Giants will now look to replace Xavier McKinney with is represented by Mulugeta. So you almost want to foster that goodwill. How much have you seen that? And is that rare for a team to kind of take that risk? Because Joe Shane has done that a couple times. You know, the story about Leonard Williams traded to Seattle. And, you know, we all heard the idea and Joe kind of backed it up and said, you know, we basically told him, do you want to go to Seattle? You know, I got a second round pick on the table. Do you want to go to Seattle? Leonard said yes, but he appreciated the fact that Joe handled it that way. You deal with a lot more executives from different teams than I have. What's your take on the whole idea? Is it kind of a misnomer to say it's developing goodwill, or do you think that does exist at this point?
I think it does exist in some places, and I don't know that they're mutually exclusive, right? You can do what's best for the team. Let's call it the Giants here, and then you can also do what's best for the player, be it Leonard Williams or Xavier McKinney. There is certainly something to playing nice with certain agents. I don't think there's any question about that, and a lot of GMs, current and former, probably former, would agree with that, where, you know, you mentioned Dave Mulugeta as the top safety, you know, agent out there, and there's no doubt about that. He's also, like, one of the top agents overall. He has dudes everywhere, and so whether you're dealing with a Mulugeta safety after the fact, you're also maybe going to be dealing with a Mulugeta wide receiver or a Mulugeta backup quarterback or a Mulugeta draft pick. And so, yeah, you certainly don't need to be cross for what? For the sake of what? You know, we're all, if you believe that this is a symbiotic relationship, it certainly behooves you to treat it as such. And so as long as, you know, and that's the thing with Joe Shane and Leonard Williams, yeah, we have a two on deck for you. Do you want to go to Seattle? Well, it's not like, you know, they turned down a one and let Leonard Williams go for the two, right? Like, it worked out for both sides. So you can treat these guys like human beings, and it can work out for you. And I think we're seeing that with Chicago. I really like the way Ryan Poles handles his business up there. I think we have certainly seen that with the Giants. And I'm going to leave out a couple other teams, but those two really spring to mind as two of the top that really do balance being a human and being a business person.
Pretty crazy you mentioned Poles, because he was considered a finalist here with Shane for the GM job, interviewed here, and Adam Peters as well, who's now in Washington. So kind of crazy that, you know, it looks like the Giants really hit on the GM candidates that they interviewed the last go.
Well, they also valued like personal feelings and bedside manner. And I wonder why they valued that out of their general manager after the previous four.
Very, very good point. As someone who was down in Carolina, as you were when the former, I have one fan, and I'll give him shout out. Will always refers to him, the Joe Shane's predecessor. And he throws in an expletive in between that Shane and predecessor for Dave Gettleman's time down in Carolina. All right, let's just talk big picture. I know you give me a ton of time already. Your phone's probably blowing up. Number one, what is your most interested, the storyline you're most interested in next week as free agency going? It could be anybody across the league, anything. What are you thinking when you go in?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you three quick ones because, like, it's sort of low hanging fruit, but, like,
absolutely,
you know, Kirk Cousins and where he's going to end up. And I think we're all thinking Atlanta right now, and I have no reason to believe it's not Atlanta, but anything can happen. After that, it would be the tag and potential trades. Could Legarius Sneed actually be moved? I'm not of the opinion that the Chiefs are, like, raring to just trade off like one of the best corners in the league as they're trying to get another Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't compute with me. Brian Burns, and he's been tagged. I think the Panthers have come to grips with the fact that, like, they're probably not going to get a long-term deal done. And if they are, it's not going to happen anytime soon. So if you can just get something for him, that is around a first round pick, and I know that they want a first and then some, it may just be a one. It's not going to be less than that, because if it's less than that, you just say, you know what, we're just going to take it to training camp, and you're not going to show up. And then what are you going to do in week one? You're not going to show up, and now you're not going to get a check. And then we're going to do this whole thing all over again. You know, once the player is tagged and it's after July, there's no leverage and there's no point to it. So those are the two things. Obviously, the top free agent quarterback, and if any tag and trades ultimately take place.
And you know what? Look, the Cousins situation does affect the Giants if they're sitting at six with a quarterback. And we know the Falcons are there at eight. If the Falcons go and sign Kirk Cousins, that would probably take them out of the quarterback situation as far as a drafted guy in that top 10. And that, you know, takes one more suitor out of the mix if you're looking to move up, move back, that kind of thing. And then what team are you looking at next week that you think, you know, there's always that team, and you mentioned the Jags. The Jags were that team, and I know exactly what you're talking about, especially going back to the year. I went to bed on a Sunday night and was told that Andrew Norwell, he was going to pick the Giants in the morning. And I felt like at the time I got this great scoop, and it was great, and I loved it. And then in the morning I found out, I woke up to a tweet from Adam Schefter saying the Jaguars – got Andrew Norwell, and they did. Yep. And basically, I will still say to this day that my news, because it was the Giants, it helped them come in over the top and kind of told the Jaguars, hey, we got this offer right here. We're going to come to you unless, you know. So Jaguars were that team a couple of years ago. What team is that this year that you think Monday, Tuesday, we're all going to be talking about saying, boy, they're throwing some money around?
Throwing money around. I'll tell you this. I'm keeping an eye on Tennessee Titans. They're somewhere in the top four of cap space. You know, they're up there with Washington, New England, and Chicago.
Yeah.
They were very quiet last year. They didn't have a ton of money. They were very targeted and intentional. And I still believe that they're going to be targeted and intentional. All 32 teams would tell you that. But they have a lot of cap space. They have a quarterback on a rookie contract. They have some solid pieces, but they also, a lot of their draft misses, unfortunately for them, were in the first and second rounds. So they don't have that premium talent, that homegrown talent there that they would really like to have. And so you probably, in the absence of a whole lot of draft picks this upcoming year, you need to start filling the coffers with talent because you've missed out on that talent when it would have been cheap. Now you have some money. Now you have a new head coach. Now you have a new general manager, you know, who really truly has the reins. I could see them spending a little bit more. I feel like no one's talking about them. We're all seeing the big numbers with the Commanders.
Yeah.
All seeing the big numbers with the Patriots, the Bears, and what they're going to do, right? Just keep an eye on the Titans and what they do.
Very interesting. And this, as far as the splash goes, everyone's waiting for the Texans to see what they build on, right? Everyone is expecting that big back. You know, we've seen Saquon mentioned there. You know, do they make a play for Tony Pollard? Is that something that they want to pair with C.J. Stroud and move forward? But listen, Jonathan Jones, as promised, awesome segment. Appreciate your time. Get back to that phone. Hopefully you didn't miss too many breaking stories, and we'll be watching you next week and checking out. And obviously maybe around the draft you can come back again and we can talk ad nauseum what the Giants are going to do at quarterback.
Hey, appreciate you. We'll certainly be following along your Giants coverage, and thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, JJ. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks to Jonathan Jones. Obviously you can just tell with the 30 minutes or so that we had together, he is an insider on the rise. It's not easy to crack into this business, let alone to really make waves and have an impact as an insider with some of the heavyweights that are out there. So credit to JJ. If you're not following him, you should be, and we'll get him back on again. He knows his stuff. He's one of the good guys that's out there. So, you know, again, I hope you guys enjoyed all that stuff. And, you know, you go into this weekend for the Giants, and it's, I don't want to say calm before the storm, because I think the waves have already been crashing the last couple weeks. I think we knew where they were headed with Saquon Barkley, that he was going to be hitting the market. And, you know, that's something I wanted to mention, just the idea that all of a sudden, you know, the Eagles are interested. Well, go back on NorthJersey.com. Go find my column from after the season finale against the Eagles, when I wrote a column on Saquon, whether or not that was his last game, everything that transpired after the game, how he gave away his game jersey to a young child from Make-A-Wish after that game, and I included, I think it was six teams that should be included and considered suitors for Saquon Barkley. The Eagles were one of them. So now all of a sudden that everybody's talking about the Eagles because Howard Eskin down in Philly says the Eagles are interested. And then there's this idea that Saquon's interested. Well, no kidding. Saquon grew up in Copley, Pennsylvania, went to Whitehall High School, and his entire high school, the Monday after he was drafted by the Giants, a former photographer of ours at the Record, now at the Boston Globe, Danielle Parzakaran, we went to Saquon's hometown. We spent the day at Saquon's high school. Every teacher, every kid, they were all Eagles fans. So this is what Saquon grew up with, and his father is a Jets fan. So he's not adverse to going to teams that people may not like. So are the Eagles going to really make a play for Saquon? Well, maybe they will. If the Giants aren't willing to go above 10, and maybe they're not even willing to go at 10, and the Eagles come in at 12 and a half or 13, and depending on what the guaranteed money is, I think Saquon Barkley could sign anywhere in the league. I'm not convinced that that's going to happen, but prepare yourselves, Giants fans. If you're going to be upset that Saquon is going to end up with the Eagles or with the Cowboys, it's a possibility because that's just the way this has played out. And don't think for a second the Giants woke up yesterday and saw that report about the Eagles and were like, oh, my God, Saquon might go to the Eagles. I think they're well aware that once he's a free agent, he can go anywhere. It was just like when they parted ways with Wink Martindale. Wink Martindale could have ended up anywhere. They didn't have that provision in the exit that they negotiated. He did not get paid, Wink, the $3 million, but he could have gone anywhere. I didn't get the sense that they were worried that Wink was going to go to the Eagles or to Washington or to the Cowboys, which is what was discussed right off the bat. And I don't get the sense that the Giants are nervous that he's going to go to Philly. Now, if Saquon ends up in Philly, Philly has a better team than the Giants right now. They have weapons on offense. And if Saquon goes there, yeah, in theory, the Eagles will be that much better than what the Giants are. But this entire Giants-Saquon thing, you know, I tweeted the GIF of Kylo Ren from Force Awakens in the Star Wars. Now, if you're not a Star Wars fan, you're just going to tune out right now, and I get it. But that GIF of Kylo Ren when, spoiler alert, he kills his father, Han Solo. So I'm going really in the weeds now. But the idea is that the Giants know what's best, what they believe is best for the Giants. And I think that's an offense that's not built around Saquon Barkley. Whether Saquon Barkley is here or not, they know they need to put resources, money into the offensive line. They know they need to address the quarterback situation. They know they need a number one wide receiver. They know what they need on the other side of the ball. You know, for everyone who wants to say that salary cap isn't real, it's real. It has ramifications. The bill comes due eventually. It's just a matter of when you have to pay it. And to put that kind of number on Saquon and continue to have him as the centerpiece of your offense, it may hold this regime back and may ultimately lead to their exit, Joe Shane, Brian Daboll. So I think they know where they want to go, but I don't know if they want to truly rip the Band-Aid off. And from Saquon Barkley's perspective, I think it's the same. I think he doesn't want to leave the Giants. He wants to be here. He loves the legacy that he's built here. He loves the community. He loves being a Giant. You're not going to get that same feeling. This is the team that drafted you. We know, number two overall. But that's always going to hang on Saquon Barkley. If Saquon Barkley goes elsewhere, anywhere in this league, he is no longer the pick that was wasted by the Giants and Dave Gettleman at number two. He's just Saquon Barkley, a good football player. How good? Well, it depends on where he's going to go from now. I heard Tiki Barber talk on FAN yesterday about how his career really didn't take off until he's in his late 20s. Now, I don't know if that could happen for Saquon. He's sitting at 27. He's had multiple injuries that have held him back. obviously the ACL. I think he's beyond that injury right now. But I think Saquon might be better off going elsewhere. I think that's the reality. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen next week, but it wouldn't shock me. And I think at this point, Saquon and the Giants parting at this point might be the best thing for both of them down the line. Whether that happens next week or not remains to be seen. As far as Xavier McKinney goes, I still think there's a chance that if his market doesn't develop, that the Giants will get him back on a good contract. Well, I'll just have to see where that goes. Check out the interior offensive line. We've talked about it when we were at the combine. I think the Giants have a potential of signing two starters, left guard, right guard. I think they need a swing tackle. I think they'll go after that. We've mentioned you names last time. Jermaine Elmanuor from the Raiders. I think in that situation, you know, we're looking at it and saying, you know, you need him to be that guy to challenge Evan Neal, to be in a situation where if you're going to give Evan Neal a shot, you need someone to be able to step in at right tackle. So, and Onwenu from the Patriots, everyone will talk about him, Robert Hunt. I just think that the Giants will sign two offensive linemen, maybe three, next week, really in the first 3 days of free agency. It's just the way things are shaping up. And watch the edge position. I think Bryce Huff for the Jets is in play. I think Leonard Floyd, who is a player that the Giants as a franchise, as an organization, have liked. Obviously, they missed him out in the draft back in the Jerry Reese days. And they went after him again in free agency when he signed with the Rams. Maybe Leonard Floyd is someone you need to bring in somebody to complement Kayvon Thibodeau. I think they add in the draft as well at edge. So it's going to be a crazy week. Make sure you keep following me on social media, Art_Stapleton. We will do as many all-ins next week as we can, as needed. Paul Wood, my fine producer, and I will try to be as flexible as possible to get you as many shows as we can next week to react to free agency. Will Saquon be here? Will Xavier be here? Who will be the new names that join the Giants as Joe Shane and Brian Daboll try to fix what was a 6-11 season and move forward and see if they can get back into the playoffs and become another contender in this conference, which I don't know how legitimate they were in year one, but they still won a road playoff game. And then in year two, we know things kind of went awry. So that does it. Again, thanks for Jonathan Jones and Paul Wood. We're all in. Enjoy the weekend. And it's, for us, the calm before the storm. We appreciate you being all in. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you during free agency.